He's wave two of free agency, as he kind of saw with Dallas Goedert yesterday. I think $7 million, that's it. So, you know, that's a no-brainer for the Eagles from the perspective of the potential $20 million dead money hit that would have accelerated into this year's cap. Maybe even just as important to the players to make sure you kick that can down the road. So, it was obvious, I think, they were going to get it done once they kicked the Boyd date back twice. That was an indication that, well, Howie's juggling some other balls trying to figure something out, hint, AJ. And that's probably getting hitting the pause button on that so you can move on Dallas. All these things kind of conflate together, but Dallas Goedert's going to be back for a ninth season. I believe sixth season as the tight end one in Philadelphia, and you could do worse than that.
Yeah, no doubt. Johnny Mac, a good bargain price for Dallas Goedert. And also, John, the saga leading up to the contract. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on our breaking news show yesterday, and we're going to get right into it here on Birds 365 this morning on a Monday. But, man, if Philly fans don't like Dallas Goedert, I urge you to like him now, because this guy is going out on a whim for the Birds, it feels like, John. What's kind of the rundown on how we got to this point with Dallas Goedert? Because I don't know if the average fan, John, will understand what Goddard did to kind of make this possible for not only him to stay here, but for the Eagles to be able to have some flexibility in what they're trying to do.
Well, I mean, look, it's pretty clear he wanted to stay here, but it's also clear to me that getting only $7 million, that his market wasn't that strong. So I don't want to go too over the top with it, but if there were a significant market, he'd be gone. As simple as that. But there wasn't. And if that's going to be the scenario and you're debating between 1 year and $7 million here and $1 million, or $2 million more somewhere else, I think, Dallas would rather stay here. He's made a lot of money, et cetera, for that particular over his entire career. So it's the only professional home he's ever known. He's had a ton of success here. They make the playoffs every year. They've been in Super Bowls. They won a Super Bowl with them. Is an extra million or $2 million with, somebody who's going to win 7-8 games. Is that the same? Probably not. Even with another contender, you're going in with a new coach, a new system. You could argue he's going in with a new coach and new system here, but you get the point. A lot of familiar faces here where they wouldn't be elsewhere. So he definitely wanted to stay here, but I do think if there were 2 years somewhere else at $15 million, he would have left. I mean, he's not nuts.
Right. Man, the market probably wasn't there.
So, yeah, the market clearly wasn't there. Unfortunately, and that's life in the NFL. He's been a very successful player, very good player, but he's going to be 32, I believe, in January of next year. So he'll be 32 before next season ends, at the very end of next season. But still, people are hesitant. And then the blocking aspect, which really declined last season. So maybe teams are getting smarter and not getting snowed by 13 touchdowns and things like that. But for the Eagles, really good player, and $20 million, that it was about $20 million more than $7 million, because that would have accelerated onto their cap this year, $20.494 million, would have accelerated onto the Eagles cap. That means they couldn't trade A.J. Brown, even if they had a deal in place, at least until after June 1st. And that's probably going to be the same either way, but it's probably an indication they wouldn't have been able to add salary. So if you talk about a potential trade for an edge rusher, you got to add salary. Well, now they can do it. If they took on that dead cap, they probably couldn't do it. Right,
John, and is that the reason why this saga kind of, it was a weird, The Dallas Goedert deal was weird, John. It wasn't like your average free agent that took a little bit to sign with the Eagles. You know, they kept extending back that date. They pushed back the void contract to Friday. Then they pushed it again back to Monday. Is that why that happened, John? Explain to the people kind of what went on with that deal and why that happened on the back end.
Well, it was all about that 20-plus million and the Eagles trying to fend it off as long as possible. Because if they release him, release, expiring contract, he leaves to sign somewhere else, that accelerates. So, you know, that's on your cap. It's not going anywhere. So the key part of this was to not let the contract expire. The key part of this was extension, not re-sign, because if he just let it expire on Tuesday and the Eagles came to the same deal, well, that's on their cap, that $20 million. So that was the key. So haggling back and forth, I'm sure the Eagles were trying to go lower. I'm sure he was trying to go higher, trying to get to probably closer to what he made last year, which was $10 million. And that's what they came down with. It's a little surprising from the standpoint of, you know, it's quite a bit of leverage. Maybe I would have pushed harder. We're going to see what's out there. If Dallas's camp said, we're going to see what's out there and we're going to let the contract expire. Maybe the Eagles would have bumped it up, a million or two. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they
would. Hard to speculate what went on with the negotiations, but
yeah, no doubt. Johnny Mac, good stuff there on Dallas Goedert. He returns to the Birds in what is a very friendly contract for the Philadelphia Eagles, I would say, and really a good price for a player. John, what do you think of that tight end room now? It's taking shape. You know, earlier in the offseason, it almost felt like, is there any tight ends here in Philly right now? There wasn't. And now, you have Goddard under contract. Johnny Munt is the addition to the room, and they bring back Grant Calcaterra. You added some context to that on our show last night about maybe might not look like that when the season begins. But what do you make of that tight end room as it sits right now?
Well, to your point, a lot of people made a big deal. Look, one thing, same thing with the salary cap. I always say to people, has there ever been a team who's not been cap compliant in the history of the NFL? The answer is no, because they have to be. So, when you talk about New Orleans every year, or this year it was Dallas and Minnesota and teams like that who are way over the cap, and everybody, what are they going to do? They're going to get under the cap because you have to. When people get all in their feelings about, they don't have a tight end in February, it's like, they're going to have 90 players on the offseason roster because that's what you're allowed. They're going to add tight ends, and they've added tight ends back with Dallas Goedert, Grant Calcaterra, Johnny Munt. They signed from outside the organization. And I don't think they're done, by the way, because they still need a longer-term plan at that position, and this is considered a pretty deep draft. When it comes to the tight end position. Now, I said yesterday on X, that doesn't mean Kenyon Sadiq. I don't think they're taking him in the first round. But it does mean day two, day three, they're going to draft a tight end somewhere. Don't buy the Calcaterra. I'm joking because nobody's buying a Calcaterra. But they might buy a Johnny Munt jersey, considering some of the hype with him. Don't buy that yet, because if they draft a kid, even a kid like, Oscar Delp, but we've talked a lot about, if he gets healthy, one of those guys isn't going to be here. Most.
Who do you think has a better chance to make the team, Calcaterra or Munt?
Well, it depends.
Depends who they draft, right? Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, if you're drafting a receiver, Johnny Munt's got a better chance. If you're drafting a blocker, Grant's got a better chance. So, like our old Harrison Bryan fan, don't get too attached to those guys just yet.
Yeah, he's still in here, our Harrison Bryan fan. JD3, hope you're doing well this morning. Speaking of everybody in Jacob Nation, good to see everybody in the chat. Riz, Sis, Daz, Deals, Deshay, RMP, Brandon Howard. What's up, everybody? Appreciate everybody for being here this morning. Don't forget to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate all of you guys for showing out. Big first week of free agency here on the channel. So we do appreciate you doing that. John, what do you make of first week of free agency now with it's now in the rear view? The Eagles lost more than they gained. They picked up Tariq Woolen. They made some additions, obviously, and also brought back Dallas Goedert to close out the week yesterday, kind of the new week yesterday. But we'll put it in with week one of free agency. What's your thoughts on what the Eagles were able to do in week one, or not do in week one of free agency?
Much as expected, with the exception of Jalen Phillips. Obviously, that was the priority, that was the goal. But you know, when you hit that market and somebody says, we're going to give you $30 million. I don't think anybody looks at that and says, I don't know why the Eagles didn't go to $30 million. So it's understandable. But also got to replace the player. And they haven't replaced the player. And no, Arnold Ebukadi is not here to replace Jalen Phillips. So, you know, still work to be done. Certainly at safety as well, losing Reed Blankenship. You know, the emotion of losing N'Kobe Dean, I understand, but that was always a fait accompli because they had the heir apparent in the building. And, you know, that'll be down to what Jahad Campbell turns into as a player and what can N'Kobe continues to be in Las Vegas. And that'll be debated, I'm sure, for years, but it was understandable. Most everything was understandable. You know, if anything, I was surprised they went as high as they did for Reek Woolen in 1 year, $12 million. Something they
did. Well, you know, my question is on that, John. You talked a lot about before free agency started that the Eagles had a budget for edge rusher, which makes sense to me. You know, when you have a player like Jalen Phillips leave at a price you probably didn't expect him to get to, and then you sign Tariq Woolen to what I think is a pretty considerable contract for a 1 year deal. Not huge, but a good contract for Tariq Woolen. Do you think any of that came out of the budget for the edge rusher? Or do you think that, you know, like in other words, shit, we couldn't get the edge rusher. Let's make sure our secondary is really good. You know, if we're not able to land that kind of a contingency type of thing, does that take away from that edge budget? Maybe even if it's just 27 to 18 or whatever it might be.
No, I don't think so. You know, cause they were trying to get Trey Hendrickson. I don't know how serious they were with Max Crosby. I don't think it was too serious, but, and they might be trying to get Jonathan Greenard as we speak. So no, they know they have to replace that position. They just also wanted to get better at cornerback too, which I knew, but it, you know, it is a little bit more than I thought they'd go, but that's the kind of players Howie liked, guys who have undervalued, have huge ceilings. And if things click, they could turn into, something special. So I think it was more about the player in that case than, you know, shifting gears. It's just like, this guy's undervalued because people think he's a you-know-what, and yeah, we can control him, and we can get him on the right path, and we can turn him into an all-pro level corner. And then if you have two all-pro outside corners and an all-pro slot, that's pretty good. So I think it was – and the same thing with Ebukadi from a lesser standpoint is, you know, high upside, high ceiling guy, hasn't reached it. Only 27-ish. Same thing. That's where he's kind of elevated his game this year versus last year, looking for those guys versus just, all right, I'm in the clearance aisle. I'm not leaving the clearance aisle. Let me pick out the best clearance aisle item. They're, at least they're in Target, the main floor, looking for the bargains rather than sticking to the clearance aisle.
Yeah, no doubt. Good stuff there. I think Tariq Woolen's going to be a good player. We had the Clips channel running, Johnny Mac, and I got some comments over there. Not that they matter all that much, but from Seahawks fans. You know, I had like four or five check in. Said, hey, Seahawks fan here. They commented on our segment on Tariq Woolen. last week. And a lot of the comments were very similar in that the talent of the player is incredible. I mean, when he's on his game, you know, the closeout speed, everything, he's a really talented player. And sometimes the lack of focus, you know, he gets bored out there is how one guy worded it. He's like, he gets bored. So, you know, he'll start to jump on balls and stuff like that. But if he's disciplined, he is a really good player. Could have been a Pro Bowl player, kind of like you mentioned. So we'll see about Tariq Woolen. I have pretty good confidence in him. I think he's going to be a good player here with Vic Fangio. We'll kind of coach some of that out of him. So we'll see what happens with Tariq Woolen. John, what's becoming a necessary daily evil on Birds 365? Okay. Where are we with AJ Brown? I mean, I literally, John, I can't escape it. I have notifications on my phone, obviously, for you, for the big NFL guys, Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter, some of these other guys. All right, here we go. 2 minutes ago or 9 minutes ago, Ian Rapoport. First tweet of on a Monday morning, John, is about who? It's about AJ Brown from Good Morning Football. A future AJ Brown trade remains a possibility, but by Dallas Goedert returning to the Eagles, it removed any time element. Brown's trade scenarios may be revisited in June. Who's that sound like, John? Sounds like what you said yesterday on our segment, yeah. Our breaking news segment. Where are we on AJ Brown, John?
I mean, nothing new other than they're working really hard to move him. So to the point of those who don't want to believe it, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, except you're going to have a bad day before September 1st somewhere. I can't tell you when, but I don't think he's going to be back. I don't think he wants to be back. And it's what I've been latching on to, you know, the Mike Tomlin quote. People are probably tired of me hearing it, but that's where I think the Eagles are. They don't want hostages. They want volunteers. And, you know, if somebody's that hell-bent on leaving, you know, you it's better to move on. It's not about who's right, who's wrong. It's not about what's fair, what's not fair. It's about if he's here and if he's not happy and he loses focus again and you run back the same stuff. I think both sides are tired of it. And sometimes everybody's got a shelf life and sometimes you need a reboot and a new start. And I think AJ's at that point. Yeah, I think the Eagles realize it.
John, what's the contingency that the Eagles might have in place? I saw a report come out from Bleeding Green. They just put out that the Eagles were reportedly interested in Darnell Mooney before he signed with the Giants. Now, I'm not saying that that was their plan to replace AJ, but do you think they have a plan to replace AJ, or will it be kind of a, you know, maybe you look for a pseudo 2-3 guy who can kind of come in there behind Devontae Smith and give you a good, competent player. Maybe not, obviously not the same caliber as AJ would be, but, you know, a player like that. What do you think their contingency might be if AJ is out this summer?
Yeah, I think it's Devontae's going to be the one.
Right?
Yeah. And then they're going to supplement from there. And, yeah, Mooney was part of that process and, you know, looking at a player who's been a very productive player over his career, you know, more of a wide receiver 3, but he had a 1,000-yard season in Chicago. That's why he's in with the Giants, because Matt Nagy was his coach. Had 900, almost 1,000 in Atlanta 2 years ago. Again, you know, high volume quarterback at the time. So that helps. But the guy can produce. And would have been an upgrade over Jahan Dotson, who ironically went to Atlanta, but a little bit older, obviously. I I expect him to draft a receiver. Talk about tight end receivers even deeper on this particular class. Starting day two, and you could find contributors in day two. And I think that's how they'll go about it. You know, they had already a 30 visit scheduled with Omar Cooper, the Indiana kid, coming off a national championship. So if you get him in the second round, well, there you go. You got, you just need the Mooney type and Cooper and Devontae Smith. And, but, you know, for those thinking, well, you got to get a top five receiver to replace a top five receiver. It doesn't work like that. You're going to go about it a different way.
Well, we'll see what they end up doing with A.J. Brown. Good stuff there. I want to thank everybody for being here. We're going to talk to Jeff Kerr a little bit this morning on Birds 365. I don't want to spend too much time bogging down on A.J. Brown. Plenty to talk about when it comes to edge rusher, safety, what's next for the Philadelphia Eagles in free agency, where we are. Obviously, we're well into phase two, as John said when we started the show today. Maybe even could argue, John, getting close to phase three free agency. That might be coming soon. And we're also 6 weeks out from the NFL draft, John. I think pro days, a bunch of pro days happening this week across the NFL. So it's going to be an exciting, another exciting week here of the offseason. I kind of love the offseason with the draft. John, you've always said that you think the offseason is interesting. Draft, free agency, everything, all the storylines, it's good. So we'll see what ends up happening. Let's go to some super chats here, John. One from Nick Gonzalez, who also becomes a member. Nick, thanks for becoming a member, brother. He says this: if you're in New England, why would you give up anything of value knowing everyone is out of the A.J. Brown sweepstakes? How he wants A.J. out, he's going to have to settle for what New England offers, John.
No, I don't think so. A, because they need a really good receiver. Is a really good receiver. B, the assumption that everybody's out is just assuming that, like, I don't believe that the Eagles were seriously considering the L.A. Rams, you know. People will – what happens in the NFL is people get through the draft, and then they get to offseason and OTAs and mini camps, and they say, ooh, you know, this guy's not ready. And if they draft some, because everybody's great, you know, you'll see that. Well, just talking about receivers, talking about Omar Cooper and whoever drafts these guys, Jacoby Lane, you know, Concepcion, who I like, Chris Bell, Skylar Bell, throwing out names. They'll all be great. They're great. They're great. And then they get to OTA and they're like, oh, this guy's not ready. And if you're a Super Bowl contender, and also the presumption that, you know, teams like Denver and Baltimore won't get back into it when it's more serious and it's easier for the Eagles to move them because the cap hit after June 1st. They might not get what Howie wants because Howie's always shooting to the moon, but yeah, they won't have to accept what the Patriots do. And if that's the case, Howie is stubborn and he will keep them. Probably won't work. Probably be a bad decision, but he is stubborn. He did that with Zach Ertz. You know, we're talking about Dallas Goedert. You know, Dallas was clearly taken over. Zach wasn't happy. Was healthy. He wanted out. Couldn't get the value he wanted for him, so he kept him into the season. Eventually traded him, but. And that's what's going to happen here. I can't tell you when, but he's eventually going to trade him. But, you know, Howie's not just going to acquiesce and say, here, take him.
Yeah, no, you can't just do that. That's bad business right there. So we'll see what the Eagles end up doing. John, what's next here in phase two for the Eagles? You obviously still have the edge rusher out there. Safety is an area as well. You know, they lost Reed Blankenship last week. They still have Andrew Mukuba. You know, maybe Michael Carter, John, maybe that little move that they made with Michael Carter, bringing him back could become relevant. What do you think is next here for the Eagles in phase two of free agency?
Well, they're looking for a receiver, obviously. Christian Kirk is out there. That's a player they wanted in the past. You know, who knows what's left and what they think about that, but I wouldn't be surprised. You're talking about one-year guys, of course.
This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
possible exception. Edge rusher is the one possible exception of they might make something splashy because they have to do something there. And it's unlikely they're going to get a difference maker with the 23rd pick in the draft, at least early on. You know, maybe long term you can do that, but I wouldn't bet that early on. So, yeah, they still have to do something on the edge pretty clearly.
And what do you think they do at safety?
Well, safety, I think they have more wiggle room. They obviously need to bring somebody in. But if you're gonna play Woolen as a three down player, that enables you to play Cooper at safety in the base defense, which is only 10% of the time. So not a lot, but you don't need that guy who's on the field and every single play. So maybe you can piecemeal it together. Maybe it's as simple as Marcus Epps and draft grouping the roster. And but they have a little wiggle room there just because of Cooper DeJean's versatility. And I've always secretly thought that safety would be his best position because he could have more impact on the game there than even the slot. And that's the reason Vic keeps him in the slot, because he has more impact on the game versus being outside. Well, if he wants even more impact, move him to safety. Let Michael Carter play the slot. How about that? You know, you got to start thinking outside the box a little bit, because that's the way Vic thinks.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what they end up doing, John. Could be interesting to see. We will find out. I want to thank everybody for being here today. Back on a Monday here on Birds 365, about 6 weeks, guys, from the NFL draft. How about that? It's going to be interesting to see what the Birds do, sitting at pick number 23 in the first round of the NFL draft. And then they're up to what, John? 9 picks total this year with the comp picks?
Yeah, they got an extra one for they weren't expected. Well, I shouldn't say they weren't. All the projection people did not project them to get, but they ended up getting one for Isaiah Rogers. So that was a 6-round pick. So now they have a 6-round pick. They didn't have anything after the 5th round. Now they have a 6th-round compensatory pick from Isaiah Rogers signing elsewhere.
Good stuff there.